I'm a pastor emeritus. That means I'm retired, but I'm still busy doing ministry. But being retired, I can go on trips with my wife, who loves to travel around the world. And so my wife set up this whole trip, and she uses mileage things with credit cards. And she flew us over to Taipei and then over to Vietnam. And we went business class, and it cost us $80. That's the kind of point things that she does. And we went for 8 weeks to Vietnam, Thailand, Malaysia, down to Singapore. And on the trip for the entire 8 weeks, there were two animals that we kept seeing looking at us wherever we went. We'd go to a small park in the middle of a city, and there would be macaws and water monitors. Okay, and the macaws are monkeys. And so imagine you're out. You guys have seen monkeys in a zoo. You're walking along, and there's a monkey there, and there's a monkey there, and there, and there, and there, and there. And you look up at the tree, they're over you. One little monkey fell out of a tree right in front of us, plopped to the ground, looked at us, and then took off. Monkeys were everywhere. And the monkeys looked at you with two ideas. Idea number one was, are you a threat? So imagine you're walking among the monkeys, and there's a big male monkey there, baring his teeth. Okay, he wasn't looking at us very nicely. Or they would look at you to see if you had any food. And if you had food, they would try to steal it. They'd literally run up and grab your pack or do whatever they could to get to the food. And so that was the first thing we saw, these monkeys everywhere. And the second thing we saw were these water monitors. And they are lizards, and the small ones are this big. And then the big ones we saw were over 6 feet long. And they were all over the place. We're in Bangkok in a park, and there's a couple lakes there. And water monitors are all over the place. And they were looking with this idea, are you dead yet? Because they like to eat dead things. And so they would look at you, is it you dead yet? No, I'm going to leave you alone. Wait till you die. And we saw all these different animals looking at us. And this is the season of who knows what? Lent. And in Lent, we're going to be talking about today about how the scribes and Pharisees looked at Jesus, how we look at other people the same way the scribes and Pharisees looked at Jesus, and how Jesus looks at us. And so let me read you just a little bit of the Lenten story of Good Friday. Very early in the morning, the chief priests and elders and teachers of the law and the whole Sanhedrin made plans. So they bound Jesus and led him away and handed him over to Pilate. And there's a saying that some of you know. See if you can fill in the blank. If looks could kill. Have you ever given anybody the evil eye, stared at somebody because you really wanted them to have something bad happen to them? My wife yesterday told me about a stop sign in Blue Jay. And she had stopped, and she looked for the other car to stop coming through, and the other car didn't stop, and it just went blew right through the stoplight. She gave that person the evil eye, and then guess what happened next? Highway Patrol was there and gave him a ticket. So that's what you want. You look at somebody, and you want something bad to happen to them. And that's what happened on Good Friday. The scribes and Pharisees gave Jesus the evil eye. They wanted Jesus dead. And so they began to do the work of killing Jesus. And they wanted him dead because Jesus had preached to them the law. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, says Matthew 22. And Jesus spoke to these men, the law of God. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you build tombs with the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part in their shedding of blood of those prophets. And so Jesus preached the law. And as he preached the law to them, they were given the evil eye. Jesus, we want you dead. And have you ever preached about Jesus to a friend or a family member and they looked at you with like, don't tell me that. Anybody have that happen? Hey, it's happened to me many times since I preached the word. I don't want to hear that. And Jesus then said, I know what's in your hearts. I see the murder in your eyes. Go ahead, walk the steps of your fathers. And their fathers had done terrible things to the prophets in the Old Testament. Who remembers the Who has read the book of Jeremiah? Anybody read the book of Jeremiah? Hey, a couple of you, is that a hard book to read? Yeah, that's a difficult one to read. But the book of Jeremiah, you see Jeremiah preaching the law to the religious leaders and to the kings. And because he preached to them, he was given the evil eye. And does anybody know what they did to Jeremiah? They beat him up. They tortured him. They threw him into an empty well, hoping that he would die. And this is how so often the Jewish nation treated the prophets. And that is how they are going to treat Jesus, the great prophet, God's son. They are going to persecute and kill. And they are following their father, the devil. The devil is a murderer from the beginning and wanted Jesus dead. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a saying, there's nothing new under the sun. And Cain and Abel, remember those two? They both offered up sacrifices to God, and God accepted Abel's and said, Cain, I think you can do a little bit better. And Cain then gave Abel the evil eye and put his son, his brother, to death. And that brings up how this text pertains to you. You see, the Bible says this, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God who he has not seen. And all of you here, and some of it for the good reason, have given people the evil eye, haven't you? There are certain people you looked at and you didn't like them. It might have been an abusive parent or an abusive neighbor, or a teacher who has treated you unfairly, or the highway patrol people that pulled you over in 18 and you weren't doing anything wrong. You were just going the normal speed that normal people go. All of us here have given people the evil eye. All of us here need to hear the word of God when it says to repent when we hate our brother or sister. There's a hymn in the Missouri Synod that goes, the words go like this. I caused thy grief and sign by evils multiplied, as countless as the sands, I caused the woes in number with which thy soul is cumbered, thy sorrow raised by wicked hand. And all of us here have looked with hatred upon our brother and sister. And right now, do we have two big political parties? Do those political parties look at each other with love or hate sometimes? Yeah, there's a lot of hatred going on. I read something interesting that we see this hatred, but the majority of Americans are not like that. And we are not to be like that. We hold our political convictions, but we love our what? Neighbor, whether they're your political conviction or not. And some of you have had some very challenging neighbors. And guess what God says for you to do? To love your neighbor and not give them the evil eye. And this is our calling, to look at our neighbor the way God wants us to look at our neighbor, to look at our neighbor with compassion, with forgiveness. And yes, there are some neighbors you should not get next to because they are crazy people, but you still do not curse them. You still don't give them the evil eye. We are to love our neighbor. And one of the ways you can practice loving your neighbor is this. This is a small congregation. Do you guys pretty much know each other? Yeah, so when a visitor comes here, do you know what's a visitor? Okay, and what should you do with that visitor? You should love them and get to know them as Jesus loves them. Believe it or not, last Sunday I was in Singapore, and I went to an English-speaking Singapore Confessional Lutheran Church. And my wife and I and one other person were the only visitors in the church that day. And my wife and I were the only Caucasians in the church that day. And the pastor had us introduce ourselves as visitors and sat down. And then a guy just one pew ahead stood up. He was a visitor. And he introduced himself and sat down. And I said, there's a visitor here. I'm a Christian. I'm going to reach out to that guy because maybe he needs to have a message that God really wants him back in the church. And so I began to talk to that guy, and he had been to church for 20 years. And he was kind of wondering, does God really want me back in the church? Kind of, God, send me a sign that you really want me here. And I began to talk to him, And I learned some things about him. I learned that his parents live in Covina, California. I was raised in Hacienda Heights. We used to play each other in football. Hey, a little neat connection. But he was raised by his parents near Fort Wayne, Indiana. I know Fort Wayne, Indiana. That was my seminary. But he used to live in a place called Lake Huntington. And don't tell my wife this, but I was dating a girl in seminary. And guess where she was from? Lake Huntington. I knew that place where he was from. And I encouraged him to come back to church. These were signs from God that you would need to be part of this congregation there in the Singapore. And he was just a marvel at all the connections that we had just randomly there in church. And so this is our calling, to look with eyes of love and compassion upon our neighbor, upon the visitor, upon other people. And we do this not to earn God's love, but because God has loved us first. That on Good Friday, all of God's anger of the sins of the world were placed upon. Any wild guesses who got placed upon? Yeah, it was placed upon Jesus. One author said, "The wrath of God is not a murderous glance from the Father, but a look of righteous judgment upon the guilt of sin. We all deserve God's wrath just as much as I deserve the Father's punishment. But instead of giving us what we deserve, God puts it on Jesus. God willingly took it from us and placed it upon him." And so we are here in church not because of trying to earn God's favor. And that's what you see when you go to Vietnam. All these people going to temples, Buddhism, Hinduism, and they are offering sacrifices that the gods might love them. It was interesting to see some of the sacrifices. We were in this one Buddhist temple, and people had brought fruit and candy and soda pop and Heineken beer to offer, and they're offer up to their gods. And I thought, how sad that they're trying to make God love them. But we know as Christians that God loves you 100% right now. And can God love you anymore? Nope. He loves you as much as a loving God can love right now. And so when you think about Jesus, think about the eyes of Jesus looking at you with love and compassion. So often we come to church thinking, oh, maybe God loves me. No, God loves you this much right now and will love you the same way forever and ever. And on this cross, he has paid for all of your sins. To close up, this is one of my devotionals, Luther Day by Day. And this is what Luther wrote one day. "I would gladly believe, if I were like St. Peter, St. Paul, the others who are righteous and holy, but I'm too great a sinner. Who knows whether I'm elect?" And Luther said, the answer is, look to the words of John 3:16. Look at how and about whom he speaks. God so loved the world, so that all who believe in him. Now the world does not mean only Peter and Paul, but the entire human race together. And there is no one excluded. God's Son was given for all. All are to believe this. All are to believe that they are not lost. So believe God's word. You are loved by Jesus. You are God's special, holy, elect people. And then Luther wrote, "Therefore, beware of excluding yourselves by permitting your thoughts such as, who knows whether it has been given to me? That would be to call God a liar in his word. Rather, make a cross before yourself and repeat these words. Even if I am not Peter or Paul, I am still part of the world. If he had wanted to give only to the worthy, he would have sent these words to the angels who are pure without sin. Yes, he would even have had to withhold it. But God looks at you this day with love and compassion. So enjoy this season of Lent. See where your sins are. Let the law do its work. And then let the gospel do even more. Let the gospel convince you that God looks at you with love and compassion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.